I am Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion meditation, where today we're talking about the first thing in your mouth. So tonight is Passover. Tonight is Good Friday. Tonight is Passover. And as I'm thinking about these things, I was talking with one of our partners yesterday, and he reminded me of this powerful principle, talking about the first thing in your mouth every day. I once had a mentor or a coach in the area of health and fitness. And this is not just an ordinary mentor. This is a mentor who had trained over 100 athletes who had won gold medals in the Olympics. And he used to teach this principle in the area of nutrition, that the first thing you put in your mouth every day influences your brain chemistry for the rest of the day. And as I was talking with one of our partners yesterday, he just reminded me, he'd been doing this, talking about every morning, first thing in the morning. He'd wake up and start praising and thanking God, talking about how today was going to be a good day. The first thing he put in his mouth every day influences the brain chemistry for the rest of the day. He was talking about what a difference that made. And just reminded of this principle today. So in our mouths, what we're speaking, I think starting the day with just gratitude and praise. One of the things I like to do, in fact, I did it this morning just after thinking about this, I just made sure to do it this morning. I could tell the difference already. Just waking up first thing in the morning, like we talk about, this is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to be glad in it. Just sets the tone for the whole day. And then the first thing you put in your mouth physically or nutritionally, I believe, is supposed to be water. Drinking water first thing in the morning, every morning. But we've got Passover tonight. And the reminder for this, the word Passover in Hebrew is the word Pesach, which means talking mouth, giving praise and thanks for that time. And it says in the Old Testament, when the people would celebrate the Passover, God told the people, when you celebrate this Passover, your children are going to ask you, why are you doing this? Why are you celebrating this Passover? And he told them, it's going to give you an opportunity to tell your testimony, to tell the story of what God has done in your life. And so something God has prompted me to do every year that we do the yearly cycle is to go back in and to tell the story of how our whole program, the Abundant Life Blueprint, came to be, how I got started, to tell my testimony. So we're going to do something a little different on our daily communion meditation today. I'm just going to tell the story. And we're going to take communion over just this amazing time of year with Passover and Good Friday and Easter, Feast of Unleavened Bread, all these amazing reminders of Jesus. So let's talk about my story a little bit. So back in, let's see, this is probably 2010 to 2012 range. I had no spiritual life whatsoever. I was running my business. I was consumed by my business. I had a personal training gym business. My life was way out of balance, I would say. I was all focused on practical, physical stuff. I had no spiritual life. I was doing okay in the area of mindset probably, but I had no spiritual life whatsoever. My life was very unbalanced. And then my business began to struggle. My business began to really struggle. I was going up and down. I had some months where I'm losing thousands of dollars a month. And I remember walking around the neighborhood with my wife one day. I just remember telling her over and over, there's got to be a better way. There's got to be a better way to live. And then one day I came across a challenge to read one chapter from the book of Proverbs every day for 5 years. Proverbs has 31 chapters written by King Solomon, who God gave supernatural wisdom to Solomon. 31 chapters. So you read on the first day of the month, you read chapter one. The second day of the month, you read chapter two. Third day of the month, you read chapter three. And you keep going until you get to the end of the month, and then you start back over again. And so I started doing that. I started reading these Proverbs every day. In fact, I still do it today. It's been something like 10 years later. I've read one every single day since that time because I got so much out of them. And quickly, I saw that my way of thinking and God's way of thinking were definitely not in alignment together. But one day, after a while of reading them, I can't remember how far along it was, probably somewhere in the first year there, maybe a little after that, came across this verse, Proverbs 13:22. A good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And that verse got me thinking, what's the most valuable thing that we can leave for future generations. If you just give them money, they could spend it all and waste it all and be no better off. And so I came to the conclusion that the most valuable thing we could pass on, this is what the Bible teaches us, would be wisdom. And so I made a commitment. I want to create lessons and systems and teaching and training for every area of life. And I made a commitment to it. When I first started, I had no clue where to start. My own life needed some help at that point, but God was so faithful. He just began to teach me and train me. He began to show up. And over the course now of about 10 years, it's turned into this whole program that we have now called the Abundant Life Blueprint. Got books and courses and teaching and training. And out of everything that we do, we've talked about, the most important thing we do is daily communion. But another big part of what we do is also the seven feasts of Israel. Because it was in the seven feasts of Israel that God taught me so many insights about Jesus. I was reading my Bible one day. I was reading in the Proverbs, and then one day I came across this guy who was 114 years old. He said he'd never been sick a day in his life. And at that time, I had studied a lot of health and fitness stuff. I'd been traveling all over the country, studying with some of the best health and fitness experts. I was taking about 6 weeks every year and just traveling all over the country. That's where I began to study with a guy who trained all the Olympians and these types of things. And I had learned a lot of stuff, but I didn't really feel like I was finding what I was looking for in the area of health and fitness. I came across this guy who's 114 years old. He says, all of my secrets are in the Bible. Never been sick a day in his life. So I had just been reading the Proverbs up to that point. I said, you know what? I'm going to read the whole Bible front to back. Should probably read the rest of it. So I started at the front and just started reading it like a book. And somewhere along the way in there, I came across these feasts of Israel. This is in early in the year of 2013. Right around the beginning of the year of 2013, I started reading the Proverbs in 2012, started reading the whole Bible in 2013, came across these feasts. And I discovered these seven feasts of Israel, feasts like Passover, like we have tonight, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, First Fruits, Feast of Pentecost, Feast of Trumpets, Day of Atonement, Feast of Tabernacles. I discovered these feasts and I said, you know, God, this is the Old Testament. I didn't have any idea about law versus grace or whatever. I'm just seeing these in the Old Testament. I just had started to develop a little bit of a prayer life. I just prayed this simple prayer. I said, God, if these feasts are important, if these feasts are relevant for us still today, I don't understand all what's going on here just yet. But would you just show me? Would you give me a sign if these days are important? And so the next feast coming up, we were in the fall of the year, I believe, at that time. The next feast coming up, you see here, we got the seven feasts. The next feast coming up was the Feast of Trumpets, which happens in the fall, also called Rosh Hashanah. And they have a tradition that on Rosh Hashanah, it's like New Year's Day in the Jewish culture. And they typically celebrate it with apples with honey. They eat apples with honey on that night. And I said, you know what? I don't know what else to do. I'm not sure what God's answer is for these feast days yet. But we could have some apples with honey. It sounds like something fun to do. And so I made a note because it was coming up the next day. I made a note. I need to pick up some honey at the store. And when I got to the gym that morning, because the feast is celebrated at night like a New Year's celebration, like a New Year's Eve celebration. When I got to the gym that morning, my very first client walks in with a huge jar of honey for me. And to my recollection, people have given me a lot of gifts through the years in the gym. That's the only time somebody brought me honey. The only time. And so we celebrated the feast that night with apples, with honey. And then I learned that that feast starts a period called the 10 Days of Awe. The 10 Days of Awe. It's the 10 days from the day of Feast of Trumpets to the Day of Atonement. Now, 10 days later is the next feast called the Day of Atonement, which they call the most holy day of the year. That was the one day of the year when the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies and make atonement for the sins of the people. That was the one day that he could go in there. So it was considered the most holy day of the year. And so they have this period called the 10 days of awe, which is a time to basically repent. If anything's off track, the goal is to get it righted before the Day of Atonement comes. You got to be right by that day in the Jewish culture. And so I started to make some changes during that time. During that time, I began to see Then in the book of Daniel, Daniel did a 10-day Daniel fast. And I believe God began to show me the reason why he did 10 days. It was these 10 days from the Feast of Trumpets to the Day of Atonement. He didn't want to be unclean on the Day of Atonement because they were trying to get him to eat the king's food, which would have defiled him. It would have been unkosher. And so he did a Daniel fast, eating only things that can be grown from a seed, fruits and vegetables and so forth, and drinking only water. So I did a 10-day Daniel fast during that time. And then I also took any steps that I knew to do to reconcile any relationships, to seek forgiveness, to offer forgiveness, to make anything right, to pay back any money I owed anybody. I just had a major time of repentance. In fact, there was one person I knew I needed to forgive, but I was just scared to do it. I needed to reconcile with. I was scared to do it. I waited all the way to day 9, but I finally made those phone calls. Made that phone call. I was scared to do it. I just had this major time of repentance in those 10 days because I had not been living prior to my life. I've been living for myself. Let's just call it like it is, like most of us. So I went through this time of repentance during the Feast of Trumpets. And then on the Day of Atonement, like I said, that's considered the holiest day of the year. So God has shown me these feasts, go ahead and start celebrating them. So we had the apples with honey. I go through this time of repentance. Then we get to the Day of Atonement, which is typically a day of fasting, a total fast. So I didn't know what to expect. I said, all right, I'm going to start fasting. And about 9 a.m. that morning, God began to show up. I'm sitting there on the floor playing with my daughter. And all of a sudden, she starts looking around. She goes, look, a rainbow, another rainbow, another rainbow. And there's rainbows all over the floor around us. And as this is happening, just the way the sunlight was coming through the window is causing the rainbows to be all over the floor around us. And while this is happening, I start hearing this on the inside. 7 times 7 is a complete cycle. 7 times 7 is a complete cycle. 7 times 7 is a complete cycle. In the Old Testament, they had every 7th year was a Sabbath year, a year of rest. 7 cycles of that, 49 years, completed the cycle. Then they had the year of Jubilee in the 50th year, and a new cycle began again. I was just reading about it in my Bible this morning. I read the Bible still front to back like a book. Just keep repeating it over and over, just like the Proverbs. And those two revelations, the rainbow and 7 times 7, actually led to 2 or 3 different books and courses that we have now. I said, God began to teach me. He began to train me. This was the start of it. It started pretty quick. My book, Cracking Heaven's Code, you'll see on the picture on the front of the cover of it, it's got a rainbow. Talk about all the different codes and what those colors mean, how they impact our health. We talk about the 7 feasts of Israel, and we got another book we call The 8th Date. So God began to show up and began to train me. So I'm thinking about this 7 times 7. And at the time, my wife was pregnant. And I was actually thinking that she was, our daughter Kira was going to be born on the Day of Atonement. But God has something else in mind. About 2 days later, I think it was on a Monday, Trisha, my wife, went into labor. And we get to the hospital, and I remember looking at the exact time because I had to call the gym to let them know because we didn't know when Kira was going to be born. So I had to call the gym and let them know, and it was exactly 8 a.m. Exactly 8 a.m. And we walked and we walked and we walked. We got to the hospital. Her contractions were not going as steadily as they wanted. So they said, you know what? You should start walking the halls because walking the halls will begin to speed up the delivery. And so we walked and we walked and we walked. We walked for 4 hours. And exactly at the 4-hour mark, right before that happened, the doctor said, you know what? I think we need to break your water. I think we need to break your water. Exactly at 12 o'clock, they broke her water. And God started making me aware. Pay attention to the pattern that I'm about to show you. Pay attention to the pattern that I'm about to show you. Then Trisha went through about 2 hours of pretty uncomfortable contractions. And they finally got an epidural put in exactly 2 hours later. So we had a period of 4 hours, a period of 2 hours. And then she had 1 hour of pushing. And if I asked her to describe that last hour, How would you describe that last hour? And she would say one word, pressure. One word, pressure. And exactly an hour later, almost to the minute, like 1 or 2 minutes before, Kira was born. And prior to her being born, we had to go through some extra counseling and genetic counseling and testing and these types of things, because there were some abnormalities on her ultrasounds. Akira was born perfectly healthy. Trisha came through, was perfectly healthy, because she had had some issues with our previous daughter's birth. So major answers to prayer. And God began to show me this pattern. 4, 2, 1. Look, if you look, it's doubling or halving. And he began to show me this pattern. Repent. Be baptized, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is a pattern that applies to us individually, but also corporately as the body of Christ. And I began to ask him, why this pattern? What's up with the numbers, God? You're showing me 7 times 7. You're showing me rainbows. You're showing me, you know, this is 2 days later after the rainbows and the 7 times 7. He says, look at the pattern. Reverse it. 1, 2, 4. What's happening? It's doubling. The next number would be 8. We've got a book now we call The Eighth Day, talking about the power of God's grace and our covenant with him. It's a reminder of new beginnings with Jesus. So then a few days after Kira was born, we have the next feast on God's calendar, which is the Feast of Tabernacles. And it's like a fall harvest festival. It's like a 7-day fall harvest festival. And during that time, I felt God was telling me, go check the day you're baptized. Just kept hearing this on the inside. I don't know how to fully describe it other than I just began to hear him on the inside during this time. Go check the day you're baptized. So I asked my wife, Trisha, do you know where those baptism certificates are from where we were baptized? And she said, you mean this one? She had it in her hand when I asked. I said, yeah, why do you have that in your hand right now? That's a little bit weird. We had been baptized really close to when our first daughter, Anya, was born. And Trisha's making a new baby book for the new baby Kira, and she's reminiscing going back through Anya's baby book. And those baptism certificates just happened to be in there. So I grabbed the certificate. I'm like, all right, what am I looking at here? God's like, look at the date. So look at the date. We were baptized May 25th of 2010. May 25th of 2010. Like, okay. So I start counting the months. That day, September 25th, 2013. May 25th, 2010 to September 25th, 2013. Exactly to the day. 40 months. Exactly to the day, 40 months. And you look all through the Bible, you see this pattern. Whenever people were in the wilderness, it was seemed to be for a period of 40. Jesus is there for 40 days. Israelites there for 40 years. Moses in the wilderness for 40 years. See, all these patterns having to do with 40 in the wilderness. I was in there for 40 months. And so what I learned is God takes us on this path. He takes us on this path in our life. He releases us from darkness. He brings us out of Egypt. We got this Passover reminder. He brings us out of darkness into the light. But he can't just take us right in immediately. It'd be too much for us immediately. He's got to teach us and train us, and there's a process that he takes us through. We cross the Red Sea, which what the Bible tells us was like the Israelites' baptism. Then we go into the wilderness. The wilderness is a place where we learn to trust and rely on God and prove that we're going to walk by faith. And then we take this step of faith to cross the Jordan River. We cross over into this 1 year transition time because God tells the people when they cross over there, it's going to take you more than a year to possess the land. It's going to take you more than a year to possess the land. Otherwise, the beasts have become too many. You're not ready to manage it yet. And so why this pattern? Why the wilderness? What I learned is the wilderness is like a womb. It's like a baby in the womb. God plants this seed on the inside of us. And that seed's got to grow on the inside. I want you to think about this. How long is a woman pregnant for? She's pregnant for 40 weeks, which fits our pattern. The wilderness is like a womb. When we first get brought out of darkness, the safest place for us is in the womb. Think about when we're in the womb, the mother does everything. The mother breathes our oxygen, eats our food, supplies everything that we need. It's the safest place. If the baby's born too early, it's not safe for the baby. The baby's not developed yet. The safest place for us, even though it doesn't seem like a good place to be, the safest place for us is in the wilderness. Why? Because God's taking us into a promised land. He's taken us into a land of giants. He's taken us into something that's impossible for us to do on our own. And before he can take us into that, we have to develop that trust in him. Because if we try to do it in our own strength, we'll get crushed out there. So the wilderness is this time of preparation. And then eventually we cross over into this 1 year period, this 1 year transition period. I want you to think about this. In both the stories of Noah and Esther in the Bible, you see this 1 year beautification period. In the story of Esther, they make a search for all of the beautiful girls as potential queens for the king. And all of those girls have to go through 1 year of beauty treatments. They got to get beautified. They got to go through 1 year of beauty treatments before one of them, before Esther is chosen as queen. In the story of Noah, we all know it rained 40 days and 40 nights, but Noah and his family were on the ark for 1 year and 10 days. Noah and his family were on the ark for 1 year and 10 days. And what was happening? They got a big mission ahead of them. They got to start over. I believe God was teaching them. He was protecting them. He's preparing them to start over, to start this world over. And so this process God takes us through of the wilderness, the one-year transitions, it's like an onboarding process. Think of it like you're starting a new job and they're taking you through some training and teaching and training to get you up to speed, to get you ready to go. And what I've learned is these seven feasts of Israel, for me personally, held some of the major lessons that God needed to teach me and train me in. You can learn them other ways, but these seven feasts of Israel provide a framework to learn these important lessons that God needs to teach us to take what he has for us in this life. And it also provides a rhythm and a schedule with reminder, built-in reminders throughout the year. Now, it's during that 1 year period that we're getting sanctified. We're getting separated unto God. We're getting dedicated to God. We're getting filled with the Spirit, the things of God and the Spirit of God. So what's the purpose of the feast? We've got Passover tonight. Do you have to celebrate it? No. Do you have to do anything with it? No. Most Christians are celebrating Easter. Why are they doing that? They're doing it as a time of remembrance. We've got Passover tonight. Are we earning anything from God by doing these feasts? No. I do them personally, but why do we do them? They teach us about Jesus. There's so many symbols about him. There's points of remembrance, points of contact that allow us to put something physical to our believing. They allow us to connect with God and get into this rhythm with him. Because when you study these feasts, they have such a timing and a rhythm to them. Can help us create more order and momentum in our lives. I think the big thing I want you to take away from it is recently on some of our partners' trainings, on some of our daily communions, we've talked about the importance of putting something physical to what you do with what you're remembering, which is why we take communion. Something physical that we can do to release our faith into. So we're going to take communion just as a time of gratitude that we've been released from darkness, transferred into the light, and just a time of remembering all that God has done in our lives and just remembering that what he started, he's going to finish. He's going to see it through to completion. Heavenly Father, I'm just so grateful for you. Of all that you've done, of all that Jesus made available, I just thank you for what he went through on the cross. I thank you for what he went through on the cross. Crown of thorns on his head, he was spit on, he was bruised, he was hit, he was whipped. Nails in his hands and feet, pierced on his side, smitten by you, crushed by you. It pleased you to crush him. But on the other side, he rose from the dead. He lives. He came back to life. And as he is, so are we in this world. Because of him, we can be right and holy and perfect in your sight. Our sins are forgiven. We can approach you with freedom and confidence. We can have this new covenant with you, this covenant relationship with you. Father, we're just so thankful for these reminders during this time of year. We thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we thank you for this bread. I ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. So after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant. In my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." It's that forgiveness of sins that brings us into the light. Have this personal covenant relationship with God. Father, we thank you for this cup. I ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your juice, you can take your juice. So that was the start of our program, The Abundant Life Blueprint. If I can say anything, I would say, God has just been so faithful. I made that commitment to just get started. He's been so faithful to just keep showing up to teach me and to train me. I'm so grateful for what's come out of that, but also the relationships that have developed out of that. Just the amazing people that God has brought into my life through what he's done. Our partners, all those that are following along with what we're doing, all the pastors that have had the opportunity to just fellowship with through what we've been doing. I'm just so grateful for that. But I encourage you during this time, remember, first thing in your mouth. First thing in your mouth every day. Also, one thing to remember. I almost forgot about this. First thing in your mouth, when issues and pressures come our way, pay attention to the first thing that comes out of your mouth. Father, we're asking for your help with that. She would help us pay attention to that and get that right and walk in this principle. The first thing that comes out of our mouth, if it's not the right thing, we got some adjustments to make. And a beautiful thing, if you study the Bible, you'll see in the Old Testament that whenever a wife spoke something that the husband didn't agree with, the husband had the power to veto that, to say, "No, we're not doing that." Well, we are the bride of Christ. Whenever we speak something, if we're submitted to him, whenever we speak something that's not in line with what Jesus would have for us, Jesus has the power to cancel that out. Doesn't mean we don't walk in this principle of what we speak regularly and the first things that we speak every day and when situations come our way. But he can do that for us because he loves us. But I hope this has been helpful for you today. I encourage you to just take some time to remember. Remember your story. Remember all that God has done and brought you through in your life. Talk about it with your kids if you have kids, grandkids, over this weekend. But I hope this has been helpful for you. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you go to the AbundantLifeTrainingCenter.com.